You are now listening to CKMS News on CKMS 102.7 FM in Waterloo, Ontario, radiowaterloo.ca on the web. This program is part of the Local Journalism Initiative Grant Program and is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the Government of Canada, and the CKMS Newsroom. You can access the recordings of the show on radiowaterloo.ca/news. I'm your host, LaShayna Blair White. If you feel like reaching out, follow me on Twitter at LaShayna_Blair_W. With the Centers for Disease Control and every news outlet, company, and some of your favorite celebrities encouraging you to stay home and practice social distancing in order to flatten the curve, I can't help but wonder about those who aren't so lucky. What about those who have no home to isolate in? In this episode of CKMS News, we'll be exploring how volunteers, organizers, and other essential workers at our local shelters are coping during this pandemic. I will speak to Elizabeth Clark, the CEO of YW Kitchener-Waterloo, as well as Susie Gersoy, a homeless activist. Homelessness tends to be described in three parts: sheltered, unsheltered, and chronic. Homeless Hub, a Canadian research institute, describes sheltered as those who don't have permanent housing but are using emergency shelters or services. The unsheltered are described as those who do not have permanent housing and are not accessing emergency shelters or accommodations except in extreme weather conditions. Most of these individuals are staying in places that are not designed or fit for housing. And finally, Homeless Hub describes chronic homelessness as individuals often with disabling conditions, like physically or mental illness, or who struggle with substance abuse, who are currently homeless or have been homeless for 6 months to a year. So where do you go to isolate when you don't have a permanent place to stay? One obvious answer would be the existing network of shelters who operate for this purpose. According to the Canadian Encyclopedia, it is estimated that approximately 35,000 Canadians experience homelessness on any given night, and at least 235,000 Canadians are homeless in any given year. Information from the Regional Housing Stability Data Summary shows Waterloo Region saw a 12% increase in the amount of shelter beds being occupied in a night from 2017 to 2018. Perhaps one of the most concerning statistics of all is that chronic homelessness has increased by 40% from 2017 to 2018. That refers to people who stay at the shelters for 180 days or more in the past year. In other words, people are depending on emergency shelters for a longer period of time. Unfortunately, many have nowhere else to turn but to emergency homeless shelters. Currently in Waterloo Region, there are three permanent adult shelters: House of Friendship, YW Kitchener-Waterloo, and Cambridge Shelter Corporation. During the winter months, non-permanent shelters also appear around the region. On average, the largest shelter in the region can serve about 100 guests. But with the need for these emergency shelters as pressing as ever, how are the people running these shelters coping during this time?
We had two shelters. One was for women and families, and that shelter was open most of the time, but did close for a few hours every weekday, which was time for people to get out in the community, do their housing searches, connect with the different supports that they had. And we had an overnight shelter, which was just for men, and it was purely overnight. So when COVID hit, there were really two things that became quite urgent. And one was having the shelters run 24 hours a day, because when all of the supports in the community closed down, people had no place to go. And it really wasn't safe to ask people to simply go out in the community and find a place to sit for 6 hours or 12 hours, depending on who they were.
This is Elizabeth Clark. She is the CEO of YW Kitchener-Waterloo, a multi-service organization that runs several different programs like supporting and permanent housing, as well as operates two homeless shelters.
The next thing we needed to do was to put in place processes that would, within the shelters, reduce the opportunities for spread, which meant in the case of our shelter for women and families, we moved all of the families out of the shelter into motels. That was to keep the children from being exposed potentially to COVID, but it was also just in order to give us more physical space within the facilities. We also moved out all of the women who had compromised health, who would be more vulnerable. So that was a big thing. And right now we have slightly more people in the hotels. We have about 50 people in hotels than we have in the shelter. We have about 40 single women left in the shelter. Within the, for the men's shelter, we had to do the same sort of thing. The facility we'd been in didn't allow for any sort of safe physical distancing. And so moving gave us more space for people. So we had the same number of people, but we could spread them out more. And we had things like showers and the ability for people to stay there during the day.
Over the last 10 years, the region has seen several different programs, initiatives, and shelters come and go. In 2015, Out of the Cold closed its doors for the last time after being open for a decade. The program provided overnight shelter for those who needed it at the First United Church in Waterloo. The program first started as a winter initiative to help with the increase of use during the colder season. But as time went on, providing shelter was not the only need for the homeless community.
Well, the Out of the Colds, for about 10 years, we had an Out of the Cold system, which was an informal shelter system operated primarily by the churches. And their plan when they opened the very first year was to operate for that one winter. And their idea was that they would provide a very low barrier shelter for people when the shelters were full. And 10 years later, they were still in business. And what they were finding, this was the winter of 2014-15, what they were finding was that the needs of the people that they were serving had changed a lot over 10 years, and they were now dealing with higher levels of mental health problems, higher levels of addiction, and we were in the middle of a lot of meth use back then, and the volunteers that they were using to staff the churches were really getting tired. And so we had, as a community, kind of become reliant on them, and they certainly didn't replace the shelters, but they provided a little bit of a cushion that made the permanent shelters not have to worry, at least during the winter, about their occupancy. And so for a couple of years, that actually worked. For a couple of years, our shelter numbers were low and we seemed to be doing fine. But then around 2017, all of a sudden the numbers really exploded, particularly with single men. And we started turning people away, which is something we hadn't done. One of the things, and I don't like to equate homelessness with addictions, but the explosion that we saw in shelter numbers happened at the same time as the explosion we saw in opioid use. So I mean that can be correlational, but we certainly were seeing a lot of people who were very, very ill because of the use of opioids. We were also looking at a situation where housing costs were just increasing. So there were more people who were simply homeless for economic reasons because housing costs in our region were going up 9% a year and income was going up 1% a year. And that doesn't take long to do the arithmetic and see that that's not going to be sustainable for very long.
Susie Gersoy remembers what it was like visiting Out of the Cold as it came to an end.
Out of the Cold program was beneficial to a lot of people, even people that weren't living on the streets, but the volunteers that worked there, the people that were accessing it were too violent, and for volunteers have to deal with that, they couldn't. It was just drug addiction has progressed to worse. They're more violent now, do you know what I mean? So they couldn't handle it. And why would you want a volunteer to have to put up with people that can't control their anger or don't know how to, except to go use drugs?
Gersoy is a homeless advocate in Waterloo region. After facing several years of homelessness and drug addiction herself, she now speaks for the well-being of those in a similar state. She's especially worried about how the pandemic will affect the homeless population.
Like, I'm sitting here, I'm getting goosebumps because it's just gotten so worse. Like, it makes me angry. The drug makes me angry, not the people using it because they're so lost. It's the drugs. And they don't know how to cope with normal life to day-to-day living. I had to relearn it all. I had to relearn how to cook clean, keep myself healthy, But there was people there along the way that walked with me on my journey. I'm leery about the future. I'll say that much. Considering what we're going through and what we're going to be facing in the future because of this pandemic, we don't know how many people have lost their jobs because of it, right? This could get worse. We do need more shelters. I believe that because I honestly don't believe that we can end homelessness. And that's coming from a person that sat on a board on the All In 2020 campaign to end chronic homelessness. And I did it with hope, right? But now I'm losing hope because it's just progressing.
Clark shares a similar view.
I think there need to be. I think that we right now we have a handful, for adults anyway, the youth shelters are a little different, but we have a handful of very large shelters. We have one shelter that's serving 100 people and another shelter that's serving 80 people. And I think that's not a good model. Not just because it crowds people, but it doesn't allow for us to provide any sort of diversity of service. And I think that we've learned that we're using a housing first approach, but that isn't going to work for everybody. And we know that there are people who, for various reasons, are just not going to be successful in that sort of model. So if we have more shelters and smaller shelters, that gives us the opportunity to say, here's a shelter where we're going to let people stay who are using substances, and here's a shelter where we're going to let people stay who are trying not to use substances, because those two populations don't mix very comfortably. It'll give us more ability to do that sort of thing. So definitely, I'd like to see more shelters and wider variety of shelter services.
The needs of the homeless have changed and will continue to change. Clark wants to find ways to adapt in response.
I mean, ultimately, we're looking at permanent housing for everybody. So those shelters I certainly wouldn't advise somebody to go out and build a whole new shelter and expect to be there for 20 years, because I think the needs are going to change. But in the meantime, until we're in a better situation housing-wise and are able to actually bring our numbers down in shelters, I think we need to do that.
In her line of work, she has seen the benefits of changing the structure of how a shelter runs to benefit the people using it.
Well, I use our women's shelter as a perfect example of that. We've been a shelter for women and families with children since the 90s. We were single women before that. And that and then we became a family shelter, and that worked quite well for quite some time. But then what we started seeing with our single women was more and more significant mental health and addictions issues. And all of a sudden, it became an unsafe place for the children. And that, not that we didn't see it at all before, but we weren't worrying about children getting accidental needle pokes. Like, that wasn't something that we were seeing, 20 years ago. But in the last few years, it has been something we've been seeing. So, going forward, I would not want to mix those populations. I would want to have a family shelter separate.
Even now, Clark and the rest of her staff continue to implement new policies as the state of emergency continues to progress.
Our biggest challenge, and I think the biggest challenge that all of our shelters are finding, is staffing. People imagine that the issue is space, and I get helpful emails and calls all the time from people saying, this church is available, or maybe this business will open for you. And in fact, everybody wants to be helpful. So we are getting lots of offers for space. Where we're really finding the challenge, though, is getting the staffing to operate those spaces. That's been quite a surprise for us. How long and how much more complicated that's been. It's shelter work is always not particularly attractive work for people, because it's a very demanding job. It's a high stress job. It's typically overnights. It's a lot of weekends. It's not the sort of thing that people come out of school saying, yeah, that's what I want to do. So it's always hard. And in times of COVID, when people are also concerned about working with vulnerable populations, it's particularly difficult. The reason we're finally able to sort of mobilize some of these things we've been working on is that we are getting redeployed staff from other organizations, such as our local municipalities. So they've closed down services, and some of their staff are stepping forward and saying, yeah, I'll go for a few weeks and work in this setting or that setting.
So what exactly has changed at YW Kitchener-Waterloo Shelter due to the COVID-19 pandemic?
There's really a couple of things that that we're going to have to you know, some things will go back to the way they were, but I think a couple things that can't go back to the way they were is the crowding that we have in the shelters. In our women's shelter, it isn't quite such an issue because of the way the building's set up. But the men's shelters that we have in the community and the co-ed shelter in Cambridge don't allow safe distancing. You know, when they have sort of dormitories and mats on the floor, you simply can't get, you know, 2 meter space in between everybody. And, you know, you have a dining room where everybody crowds into at once, and you'd be lucky if you can get 2 feet space, let alone 2 meters. So we're going to have to do some stuff around whether it's redesigning the shelters or whether it's changing the number of people that come into the shelters, which would mean creating more shelters so that we can have better spacing. That's going to have to happen. I think that these overnight shelters that don't operate during the day and sort of just unleash people to their own devices in the community, that's something that we're not going to be able to return to. And I think that we've also had some, you know, one good thing that's come out of this is the very close working relationships that we've developed with our health partners. We're working very closely with the Kitchener Downtown Community Health Center, with the Inner City Health Alliance, and with a lot of medical people who've just volunteered to step forward and be part of those groups. And I think that certainly not to the extent we're doing it now, because it's people, you know, sort of putting their usual work aside and giving us 18 hours a day. We won't be able to maintain that. But I think that we are going to start to look at housing as a shelter, I should say, as more of a healthcare provider than we have in the past. You know, the shelters have done their best to layer on some of those sorts of supports. It's been a little hit or miss in terms of who's able to do what, and that's a funding matters as much as anything else. But I think that those connections are going to remain. They might look different, but I can't see us losing that support entirely.
On this episode of CKMS News, we spoke with Elizabeth Clark, the CEO of YW Kitchener Waterloo, about the work she and her team are doing during this pandemic. We also spoke to Susie Gersoy, a homeless activist, about her fears regarding how this pandemic can negatively impact the homeless community. For more information on this project, or to listen to an archived version of this story, and stories like it, head over to radiowaterloo.ca/news. Music played during this episode was provided by Ben Sound. I'm LaShayna Blair-White. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Radio Waterloo. And if you'd like to share a story idea or a comment about the show, send us an email at news@radiowaterloo.ca.